Asaph was the choir director. He was David's choir director, I think. And Asaph said in Psalm 73 and verse 2, he said, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Asaph is simply saying, "Thou almost slipped and fell. When I saw how prosperous the wicked are, and how sometimes in human terms, how poverty-stricken God's dedicated people are," he said, "almost made me slip in a slippery place." Again, in verse 18 of Psalm 73, Asaph says, "Surely thou didst set them in slippery places." Asaph is saying there comes a time or times in our lives when it's a little more slippery than others and easier to fall, not from grace, but from the will of God, not from grace, but from the purpose of God, not from grace, but from the blessings of God. There are places that are more slippery than others and where more people fall than at other places. Job said in Psalm 38 and verse 16, "When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me." There's nothing the pagan world lacks anymore than for one of God's people to slip and fall. It said, when my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. There's nothing that the heathen crowd would rather see you do at work than to slip in a slippery place and to fall. There's nothing that those relatives of yours that think you're fanatical and nutty because you live for God and believe this book and believe in soul winning and believe in separation. There's nothing that would delight them more than for you to fall. The Bible said if our gospel be hid, it is hid from those that are lost. And they like to see you fall. And Job said, when I fall, by the way, Job did slip one time. Pride got the best of Job, and Job slipped. And Job said, "Mine enemies do magnify themselves against me when my foot slippeth." David, one time after a great victory, said in 2 Samuel 22:37, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip." It's interesting. That same verse is mentioned in Psalm 18:36. There are very few verses in the Bible that are mentioned word for word in two different books. Psalm 18:36 and 2 Samuel 22:37 are exactly alike, where David said, two occasions, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip." Now, David knew some slipping. David had come to slippery places, and in the past, David had fallen. But now David said, "Thank God that God has enlarged my steps under me," and he said, "My feet did not this time slip." Job said in Job 12:5, "He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease." Did you ever go to sleep and a glaring light shine on you? I've been off on the airplane not long ago, and I was taking a little nap, and the fellow beside me decided to raise the window shade. When he did, the sun shined through. And it's aggravating to try to sleep with a glaring light on you. Job said, "He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him that is at ease." In other words, those people, they enjoy seeing children of God slip. David was in great trouble in Psalm 17 and verse 5, and David said, "Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not." David was in a slippery place. He knew. Look, the important thing about, are you listening? Are you listening? The important thing about slippery places is to know when you're at one. You see, if you know the place is slippery, you'll take extra care. You drive down the highway and you don't know that a bridge has ice on it, then you may be in for trouble. But if a sign there says, "Ice on bridge, drive carefully," then you take extra care. And God tells us that there are places in a Christian's life when the road is more slippery and it's easier for us to slip. And that's why tonight I'm going to give you some of those so you can be careful when you get to these slippery spots in life, lest you fall. Actually, what it means is what Paul meant in 1 Corinthians 10:12. "Let him that thinketh he standeth Take heed lest he fall. In Jeremiah 23:12, the prophet reminds God's men. He's talking to God's preachers, God's prophets and priests. And he says that their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in darkness. He said, now, preachers, it can happen to you too. It says, staff members, it can happen to you too. It says, Christian school teachers, it can happen to you too. It says, Hiles Anderson College students, it can happen to you too. It says, young people at Hammond Baptist High School, it can happen to you too. It says, Christian young men in Great Lakes Naval Base, it can happen to you too. It says, choir members, it can happen to you too. He says, deacons, it can happen to you too. Church staff members, it can happen to you too. Men of God, it can happen to you too. And so, the Jeremiah reminds the men of God that their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in darkness. Psalm 94:18, the psalmist said, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, help something to eat. Well, most of the restaurants were closed. We ended up going in an Arby's. Were you there, Mary? Arby's, I think it was. there's nothing they enjoyed more than to seeing about 75 of us come in about 1 minute before they closed and order 75 Arby's and 75 French fries and 75 glasses of carrot juice and so forth. So, but I was trying to find a restaurant, and you remember what I did, don't you? They were on a bus. The choir was on a bus, and so I was at the front, you know, and nothing that us old codgers like to do anymore than let you think we're young, you know, again, and agile, and so forth. And so I said, stop here. There was a place there that was a seafood place, and it was shaped like a ship there on that road that goes down to the Beth Haven Baptist Church in Louisville. Well, I got out, and instead of going around the sidewalk, I went across the grass. Were you there? You're laughing like you were there. And so I went across the grass, and there was a little chain like that, or a little fence it was, a little fence there. And I thought, now, I am going to run across this deal, and I'm going to jump across that fence and show these college students that the old man still got some bounce. Why didn't somebody tell me there was a little lake on a pond on the other side of that fence? And old Jack, you know, decides to very agile jump and landed right in the pond, little fish pond on the other side. And of course, the students didn't laugh out loud, but it was a cold night. I like to froze to death. You know, that's the time when we fall. We don't take heed. A little cocky, maybe, you know, like the old man was. And you love it when you see perfection stumble, don't you? Anyway, a little self-confident, ran up right enough, and I jumped it. And you never saw such agility in your life and such a grace in your life as I got out of the pool of the pond. Never saw it in your life that way. Did you know the Christian life is that way? Hey, I think I'll shoo off a little bit. Look out, you're going to fall. Peter said, I'll tell you what, old James may betray you, but not me, and deny you. Maybe old Paul, I mean old Peter, but not or Andrew, but not me. And maybe old John, but not me. I'll tell you what, you can count on me. And just a little while, a cock was crowing, and Peter denied the Lord three times, and he went out and wept bitterly, because it cursed and denied the fact that Jesus was his Savior and the church was his church and the faith was his faith. Listen to me. From that person way back up in the corner of the balcony up there to that person back in the corner up here, there's not a single person in this building tonight that should not be on the lookout all the time. He that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. And we need to walk in the Spirit by day and by night and live in this book by day and by night, lest we ourselves, as the apostle said, become a castaway. So I'm saying, look out for slippery places. Now, what are these slippery places? All right, now it's very simple. Usually, you'll find them at a high place, or you'll find them at a turn, or you'll find them at a busy stop, or a sudden start. On the road, usually, you'll find the slippery spot. You're going over a bridge, and there's no ground underneath that bridge. And it's colder under there, and on a high place, you'll find a slippery. It may be, as you get higher in the mountains, you'll find the higher you get, the more slippery that the sharp turning road is. Or not only a high place, but a place where there's a sudden turn, a little turn in the road. I was driving years ago, Good night. It's been 21 years ago. I was driving to Springfield, Missouri. I was going to speak for a week at the Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, and did. And I had to drive through the night. Oh, it was snowing, and it was 6 or 7 below zero. And so I took off after church that night. During the night, I got down to the Peoria cutoff down Highway 66, and I was trying to figure out how far it was to St. Louis. And I was looking and trying to see a sign that said St. Louis, so many miles, and so forth. I was going to Springfield, Missouri. I went to Springfield, Illinois, on to St. Louis, on down to Springfield. And I got looking, and I forgot how icy the road was. I lost control of the car. The car current turned all the way around in the road and skidded backwards for a while and then turned around the other way and skidded sideways for a while. And I ended up in the ditch unhurt because I was landed in a snowbank there beside the young girls. Are you listening over here? I intend for you to listen to me now. That's one reason you stumble and fall, because you don't listen when you go to church. Everybody, ushers and PA men and young people and everybody, babies in the nursery, sit still, don't you cry, hear what I've got to say. You need to hear this, because if you don't watch out, you'll slip. And listen, you don't read the sign, don't know the place they're slippery, you'll slip. And if you don't find out tonight the places where the road is slippery, you'll find yourself one of these days a casualty, and you'll wonder why. And one reason is you didn't listen when you came to church. So there are places where the road is a bit more slippery. You are a teenager. You just entered into your teen years. An entire new world has opened up unto you. You meet exciting new people. You are attracted more and more, and maybe for the first time, to the opposite sex. Mom and dad seem mighty drab in comparison to your newfound life. You long to be an adult. You stand in front of the mirror and try to look and see if there's just one little whisker there that you can shave. I didn't shave till I was 19 years of age. I wanted to shave. Some of my buddies were shaving. Now I shave 3 times every day. But I wanted to shave. I got in the paratroopers, and one day the sergeant said, "Hiles, how long's it been since you shaved?" "Well, I must have 6 little whiskers sticking out here on the chin." And I said, "19 years, sir." He said, "You'll shave tonight." I got me a pair of scissors and tweezers and shaved that night. But you're a teenager, and you want to shave, and life is different, and all of a sudden the glamour is better than usual, and every weapon in Satan's arsenal is pointed at you. Listen to me. If there is a time in life that is a slippery place, it is that time during the junior high and the high school years. Look out, look out, look out. And I want to tell you something, too. I believe that junior highers and high schoolers ought to live in this book like adult Christians ought to live in this book. I think you're going to slip if you don't live in this book. Teenagers, listen to me. You wonder sometimes what happens to your contemporaries at school. I'll tell you what happens. They don't live in this book. They don't live on their knees. Who said prayer was for adults only? Who said Bible study was for adults only? Who said walking with God was for adults only? Watch it, watch it, watch it, watch it, watch it. Those slippery places come in your life. Thank God for those teenagers in our church that read the Scriptures and love them. Thank God for those teenagers that pray and have their own prayer time and prayer life. Thank God for those who watch it carefully. But in these teen years, how dangerous it is and how slippery oftentimes is the road. So you are, teenagers, at a slippery place. And the tragedy is this. You can do some tomfool thing that'll cause you to wreck your entire future. I mean, you can marry the wrong person. Oh, but I love him. Listen, there never has been a 15 or 16-year-old boy in the history of the world that hadn't been in love a dozen times. I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm simply saying there is not a 16-year-old in America ready to get married yet. Not at all. Enjoy your teen years. Live it up while you're young. I mean, enjoy the basketball and the cheerleading and the youth activities and the school activities and enjoy your teen years. But look out, look out, look out, look out. By the way, about time I said this again. Some of you parents are blaming everything under the God's heaven for your children turning out bad, When that thing that you leave on uncontrolled at the night time is wrecking and ruining many of our young people. You wonder why young folks have premarital sex? Because you invite Hollywood starlets and harlots to come inside your living room or your family room and go to bed together, and your kids sit there and watch those folks in bed together, and there is not a red-blooded American boy in the world, unless there's something wrong with him, that can do that and have pure and holy thoughts. You come to a slippery place. Now listen, when you come to a slippery place, Brother John, to Brother John Colston, every place is a slippery place. But the truth is, the thing to do is when somebody's in a slippery place, is help them over that slippery place. And adults, moms and dads, we ought to be trying to help our young people over the slippery place instead of providing slippery places for them. You've just gotten married. The world's population is 2. You live in a new house or apartment. You've just gotten back from a honeymoon in Hobart. Or Indiana Harbor. Or North Hammond. You've toured the steel mills together. You live in a new world. You no longer run with the old friends. You must go to a new Sunday school class. He throws his clothes on the floor. She squeezes the toothpaste from the middle. If I know my Bible right, I've studied this book for years, if I understand this Bible, that's grounds for divorce. He doesn't wash his hands. He wets them and wipes them on the towel. She doesn't screw the medicine lid on or the ketchup lid. There's nothing in the world any more condemnable and wicked and vile than to get a bottle that says shake well, and you shake it and the ceiling is filthy. If I understand this book right, that's grounds for divorce. And I've studied this Bible by day and by night for 35 years now, ladies and gentlemen. But life is different. You have a new way of life. You have a new partner. Everything is different. Look out. You've come to a slippery place. Do you know that right after the honeymoon is one of the slipperiest places you'll ever find in your life? Because you don't go to the old Sunday school department. You don't have the same old Sunday school superintendent. You don't have the same Sunday school teacher. You don't have the same friends and the same crowd you once ran with. How easy to stay in bed on Sunday morning. How easy not to pray before you go to bed at night. How easy not to spend some time with God. I'm saying right after you marry is a slippery place. Look out, young couples. Live in the book. Live on your knees, lest you slip and fall in that happy time of your life. You've just graduated from high school. And I suspect that right in here is the most slippery place of them all. I dare say, brethren, that we lose more people from our church, in fact, all churches do, in the years between high school graduation and marriage than any other time in a church's life. I believe that you almost lose them and have to recapture most of them after high school graduation. The standards no longer hover over you like a cloud. You parted with most of your old friends. You're no longer in the high school department in Sunday school. You're ready for college. You're 18 or nearing 18 or just turned 19. You can vote now. You have a job. You may have your own car. Everything is different. It's a slippery place. You'd better watch it. Listen, you better hang on to this book. I am so tired of, and I've said it often, but I am so tired of the concept that teenagers are supposed to be one type Christian and adults another type Christian. I don't know what to do. I mean, whoever said teenagers go to church and get a hot dog with mustard, adults go to church and get the hot word of God with the Holy Ghost? Now, the simple truth is, a teenager who's a child of God, who's born again, has his name written in heaven, is supposed to love this book as much as an adult does. Listen, while we in our church youth programs in the last generation and spent all our time putting our teenagers on hay rides and wiener roast and Halloween parties, and I'm not against any of that, those if they're done with proper chaperoning and proper taste. But while we've done that, a bunch of long-haired hippie teenagers changed this country. Now, bless God, if they can change it for indecency, the teenagers who are Christians can change it for right and decency. But the tragedy is this. We are not helping our kids over these slippery places. And this time between high school and settling down is a slippery place. You're new in college. You're away from the family for the first time. You're away from your home pastor, the one who baptized you and led you to Christ. You're away from your room, your church, your brothers, your sisters, your friends, your hometown. For the first time, you're away from home, and you're new in college. Your entire life is changed in 1 week. You're homesick. You want to see mom and dad. You long to see the home church. Look out, young people. You are at a slippery place. Let me remind you of what I've said so often. First Baptist Church of Hammond is not a utopia where you come and can be spiritual without your living in this book. No church can substitute for your private time. No church can substitute for your study of this book. No church can substitute for your walking with God. And you'd better watch out. It is a slippery time when you start to college. And there are young folks in this room tonight who've come to Hiles Anderson College. And you have come to a slippery time. And numbers of you have slipped. But scores of you are about to slip. And you're going to fall. And when you do fall, you're going to break the heart of a mother back home. Or you're going to break the heart of a dad back home. Or a pastor back home. He's going to be brokenhearted. Why? Because you came to a slippery place and did not take heed. You know, there are no great secrets about living the Christian life. It's, yeah, I pick up books sometimes on 64 ways to be happy. I can throw away 63 of those and teach you how to be happy. No great secret. The secret, brother, is living in this book. That's the secret. I don't care how many books you read. I'm not against a lot of these books. I think we spend too much time on books about temperament. And I'm not against them now. Don't misunderstand me. I think you ought to spend more time on what the Bible says and the Word of God. We spend too much time on the psychology of the Christian life. All for it. Get in Romans and read it. We spend too much time, for example, we teach at our college, don't we, Christian psychology? It's okay with me. I'm not against it. In fact, I'm for it. But I'm not going to take it. Because I ain't going to school no more. The only test I'm going to take till I meet God is my driver's test once every 4 years. Did I tell you I took that today and passed it, by the way? And I'm saying that I can wrap up the entire Christian life by this. If you'll just get in this book, live in it, walk with God, walk on your knees, and do what I preached this morning. That's as simple as that. But these slippery times, when you first get in college, you better get back in the book. You have a new baby. You have been going through a 9-month enlargement program. There have been showers, doctors, illnesses, plans, vomitations, hopes, dreams, names. And now you have a new baby. Your attention has been captured by a little bald-headed, toothless character who looks like a peach that fell off the tree 3 months ago and has been out in the sun. Perhaps the baby isn't well. You fear the church nursery. Everybody knows that church nurseries are not clean. Everybody knows that there are germs all over the church nurseries. which is not true. But you aren't getting much sleep. A new odor has invaded the house to which you've not been accustomed before. While I'm at it, I want to say this. You'll find all over this word, from Genesis to Revelation, again and again, statements that say men are not supposed to change baby diapers. If there's one thing taught in this book, that's what it is. That's why I got me one of these Bibles that has blank pages in between every page. I can just write anything in I want to write in there. If I see a 900-foot Jesus when I go to Tulsa, I can put that in there too and tell how I felt. And so what happened? You have bowed at the altar of your new little god. A little 7 or 8 or 9 pound deity. Your little god. Well, I'll tell you, before our first baby is born, I had so many plans. I had planned to exegete the scriptures every night to Becky. Now, I did something every night. It wasn't exegete the scriptures. She had the colic. Not the 2-day colic. Not the 2-week colic. She's almost 30. She still has a little colic. But it's hard. If you don't watch it, you'll slip. And of all the times, young people, when you need to stay right with God is when God has placed a never-dying soul at your breast, in your arms. That's the time you need to walk with God more than any other time in your life. But it's a slippery place. Baby gets sick. Mother has to stay home with it. In the Bible, it very plainly says all the way through that men are not supposed to stay home with sick babies. I don't think I'm doing very good tonight. Just preaching the word. But I'm saying this. I'm saying a crying baby. By the way, expenses come. One just slipped just then. Expenses come. And did you know that right after she's had a baby, when she's sort of flabby in the tummy, and peeking around the eyes, at 2 o'clock in the morning, when if ever she needed a binocular and has none, and you're walking the baby while she warms the bottle, if there's ever a time that is not romantic, that's it. And folks, you've got to watch out. Listen. Take time to pray. Every day. Take time for this book. Every day. For there is not a time or a place more slippery for an adult than that time when the baby comes. I'm talking to folks tonight in this room. I'm talking to teenagers tonight who are walking on slippery ground. I'm talking tonight to young married couples. Just got married. You're walking at a slippery place. I'm talking now to somebody who has a little baby invaded your home, and you're walking tonight in a slippery place. Watch it. You have a new job. You must let them know your convictions. It isn't easy. You're in a different world. Maybe you work different hours. Your schedule is messed up. You're walking at a slippery place. Or your job is ending. You've been given notice that you're being laid off. That's a slippery place. Now, folks, I want you to hear me carefully. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not trying to cast stones at anybody who's done anything. But there is not one place in this book that says you're supposed to choose where you live according to the work there. Not one. And I can show you family after family and person after person in this book who changed their location because of job conditions, whose family was wrecked. Now, I'm not saying everybody ought to live in Hammond, Indiana. I'm not saying that everybody ought to go to First Baptist Church of Hammond. And I'm not saying you should or should not move from one city to another. But nobody, according to this Bible, and by the way, this Bible is as much for you as it is for me. And I have no right to take my family somewhere because of the money. And if I have no right, then you have no right. Now, I'm simply saying this, that, and it is in this book, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not saying that you should not move somewhere or folks should not move here, but nobody ought to come to Hammond, Indiana primarily to get a job or anyplace else. I'm not trying to scold you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to save you some heartache for some of you in the future. You're suddenly middle-aged. Crow's feet have been implanted beside your eyes. You have caught those wrinkles all you can. Silver hairs invade your scalp. Other hairs escape your scalp. The hairline is receding and the waistline is exceeding. You hate to leave your youth. I know, I fully expect when I get middle age, I'll hate to leave my youth. I think you know what I'm saying. Shut up. You want to hold on to your youth. The print of the paper is getting smaller. Your arms are getting shorter when you read the paper. But you still wonder if you have the old pizzazz. That's when you ladies, middle age, that's when you start dyeing your hair chartreuse with a maroon streak down the middle. I think I'm in trouble. And that's when you men start examining the scalp treatment advertisements in the paper. Hair transplant. I want you fellows to know that losing your hair, I feel for you. If I ever get to the place where you are, I'll certainly know to sympathize with you. But, I mean that middle age. You want to reach out and hang on to youth. It's a slippery spot. A slippery place. And before you know it, you'll reach back and grab some things you shouldn't grab. And try to recapture some things that weren't made for this age in your life. Before you know it, you want to relive the last 25 years or 20 years or so. Look out! Look out! You're in a slippery place. Live in the book. Stay on your knees. The children are now in their teens. You want the best for them. Maybe the rules have been too strict. Perhaps the teachers are unfair to your children, you think. You want them to have what you didn't have. And after all, they're only young once. You didn't mind being a nut and a nitwit and a peculiar person as a child of God, but you don't want your children to have to suffer. Let me tell you, brother, anybody that names the name of Jesus Christ is supposed to be willing to suffer reproach for him. To the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. As I've said before, this is not the day of crowning. This is the day of cross bearing. Before you know it, you're in a slippery place. A place where you'll find yourself overly protecting your children. And being overly anxious about your children. And before you know it, you'll stumble. You'll find the old-fashioned hellfire brimstone church is really not what you wanted in the first place. It's okay for you. Let me tell you something. 25, 50 years from tonight, I trust that God Almighty will still have a great crowd of people sitting in this room and some old-fashioned, leather-lunged, hellfire and damnation, Bible-preaching, Christ-honoring, soul-winning, sin-hating, devil-fighting preacher will be hollering and screaming behind this. What's good enough for the old generation is good enough for the new generation. If you young folks ever change this church, you're gonna hear some strange noises. Because I'm coming back. Middle age is passing. You taught Sunday school long enough. You're getting older now. You've served long enough on the bus route. Let some younger ones take it over. After all, you're retiring soon. You're going to go to Florida. Push a disc down across some concrete the rest of your life. Watch your varicose veins get bigger. You've earned the right to relax. You don't have to serve God anymore. You've earned the right to relax. Look out. You're in a slippery place. Let the younger ones do it. You're too old for the choir. You've served your time. Boy, I thank God for that army of Sunday school teachers who've been teaching Sunday school here even before I became pastor of this church. I tell you, I thank God. I was looking the other day at some of these Sunday school teachers. They're not up in years yet, but they're older than they were when they were younger than they are now. Write that down, Irma. That ought to be in a book somewhere. When I was looking at some of these dear old saints of God, dear saints of God, who've been teaching here for these many years. Let me tell you something. I see nothing wrong with somebody who's 75 years of age teaching a teenage boy or girl Sunday school class. Nothing wrong at all. Many a saint of God has come to a slippery place in the latter years. You've been successful in business. You can afford a boat. You can afford a cottage on the lake. You can afford lengthy trips. You're becoming financially independent. You have affluent friends. And in fact, the truth is, sometimes you find yourself ashamed to bring those affluent friends to the First Baptist Church to hear your narrow-minded preacher preach. One lady said to me when I first came here, she said, "I can't even bring my friends to hear you preach." I said, "I bet you could. Bet you could." And I want to tell you something right now, buddy. The same old-fashioned hell-raising preaching is good enough for the poor, is good enough for the rich. And it's good enough for you when you didn't have a dime. It's good enough for you when you got $1.98. It's good enough for you when you ate McDonald's hamburgers and only sold 125. It's good enough now when you eat sirloin steaks and T-bones and Fillet Mignons. and Chatterbox Briand. I've seen it. When you get the place where you go in business for yourself, you're on slippery places. You better watch it. When you get the place where your signature, Ken, by the way, I was talking to Dr. Bill Pennell the other day. Dr. Pennell said, he sent his busman up here to visit us. Check our busman. Remember? He said, "You know what impressed my busman the most?" He said, "Here a fellow drove up in a Lincoln Continental and got out of his Lincoln Continental and got in an old rickety bus and ran the bus route. Here came," he said, "a doctor, a couple of them. Drove up in the nice cars that you and I paid for. Some of you dirty rascals, you haven't been making your payments lately either, and you're crooked. But anyway, didn't laugh about that much. But he said the doctors got out of those nice cars and got those buses, old rickety buses. He said he saw businessmen. Now, look. To me, I mean this. The fellow that works for $7 an hour at a factory is as important to me as the fellow who drives a Cadillac or a Rolls Royce. Well, you say, then why are you saying it? I'll tell you why I'm saying it. Because for every one person that drives a Ford, God, pity them. Every one person that drives a Ford has a bus route. I say every one that drives a Cadillac has a bus route. There are 1,000 that drive a Ford. You get a little bit of fluent, slippery places. Some of you Howells Anderson students, when you come, you become principal of a high school somewhere, you're not still going to have a bus route, are you? Of course not. That'll be beneath your dignity then. No, you're not going to bus route. No, you'll have a master's degree then. Anybody knows that master's hands don't fit steering wheels on old buses? Anybody knows that's beneath your dignity? Look out. You're coming to a slippery place. Look out. Watch it. Why don't you say amen for the rest of my sermon, Ray? You just all of a sudden start saying amen when I go on the buses. Fellow snored over at the whole sermon. Now he's like, amen, amen, amen. Amen. I have seen churches all across this nation in the past. Churches, I better not call them, but great churches, where the common people came and heard the preacher gladly. And then that wave of young common people were taught the Word of God to work hard and to be diligent, and were taught characteristics and character traits from behind the pulpit that made them go work and work their way up the ladder and have a fluency and good education, and then they got snooty and snotty, and the church was destroyed. Why? Because they came to slippery places. You better watch it. High school students, you better watch it. College freshmen, you better watch it. Young married couple, you better watch it. A couple with a new baby, are you listening? You better watch it. Middle-aged man, woman, you better watch it. You come to that place where you're stepping up in the senior years, watch it. When my mother was 75 years old, she started the bus ministry at Levon Drive Baptist Church with the first bus route the church ever had. 75. Some of you folks are 35 thinking you're washed up. No, what you do, just wash up. Get back in there again. Watch it. Watch it. It's holiday season. You work, but they're having a Christmas banquet. And they want you to enter into the football bowl game pool and gamble. They want to invite you to a liquor party. And the temptation's great. Watch it. You're at a slippery place. You're a college student. You're going home for the first time this year. You're out from under the canopy of the rules of Howells Anderson College. Out from under the influence of the chapel pulpit. Out from under the preaching of Brother Hyle. You're back home. The old crowd you used to run with that didn't get right with God when you did comes back and they try to lure you. Watch it, you're a slippery place. Watch it. Watch it. Let me remind you, folks, no one ever plans to fall. It's always slipping. David didn't intend to take Bathsheba and kill Uriah. David just took the day off when he should have been working and came to a slippery place and fell. Abraham didn't intend to get Hagar pregnant. He just came to a slippery place and decided they had better work. And by the way, they had more jobs down in Egypt. And Abraham went down to Egypt because of the job situation. He got a job. He became wealthy. Better off if he'd never had one dime in the bank. Got Hagar. He didn't intend to get Hagar pregnant. He didn't intend to father a nation of wild people, the Arabs, through Ishmael. He didn't intend to cause something that would continue to play havoc with the world even until 1981. He just came to a slippery place and wasn't careful. Naomi and Elimelech didn't intend to stay in Moab. They didn't intend to bury their son Mahlon and their son Chilion to marry heathen women. They didn't intend for Mahlon and Chilion to die and be buried in the soil of Moab. They didn't intend for Elimelech to get buried with his sons and Naomi to come back a defeated, bitter old woman. They didn't intend it. That wasn't their plans. They just weren't careful when they came to a slippery place. Lot didn't intend to father two boys his own daughters gave birth to. Lot didn't intend to commit incest with his daughters. Lot didn't intend to appease the homosexual crowd and offer his own daughters to them. Lot didn't intend to end up with his wife turning to a pillar of salt. No, sir. Lot just did not watch a slippery place one day when he had the choice of the will of God or the well-watered plains toward Sodom. He just didn't watch a slippery place. Samson didn't plan to take Delilah. He just, when he got around women, lacked the touch of women. And when he came to a slippery place, he wasn't careful. Achan didn't intend for his whole family to be stoned to death at the Valley of Achor. He just came to a slippery place and he wanted to buy his wife a gift and take a little gold to support his family with. He came to a slippery place and wasn't careful. I've given you tonight 12 or 14 slippery places. Hundreds of you are there now. Scores of you have been there and have fallen, have slipped because you weren't careful. If tonight, if you are a teenager, be careful. You're in a slippery place. If you graduated from high school recently, be careful. You're in a slippery place. You've just gotten married. Be careful. You're in a slippery place. If you just come to college, be careful. You're in a slippery place. If you've just gotten a new baby, be careful. You're in a slippery place. If you have a new job, be careful. You're in a slippery place. If your job is wavering, be careful. You may be coming to a slippery place. If you're entering your middle years, be careful. You're coming to a slippery place. If you have children that have entered their teens, be careful. A slippery place. If you're coming into the senior years of life, be careful. It's a slippery place. If you've been successful in business or reached any other higher level of achievement, be careful. You're in a slippery place. Dr. Evans, I wonder how many young men have slipped on the ice of a PhD. I wonder how many preachers have slipped on the ice of a doctor's degree. I wonder how many couples have fallen on the ice of a precious baby. I wonder. Be careful. As I look out over this sea of faces tonight, I see several thousand human beings, every one of which is a potential casualty in the battle against evil. Be careful all the time, but especially if you've come to a slippery place. Father, bless the message. I pray tragedy should be avoided and averted tonight. And people who have been careless at turns or stops or starts or high places shall see the danger of the slippery place and get in the book, and get on their knees, and get busy for God.